bong bong.
Cost of living is rising. Your groceries are costing exorbitant amounts. I don't even know if that's the word. Your petrol through the roof. Rent, interest rates, you name it. It's going up. You know what's not? Bung Bung Coffee. Not a single price raise in the lifetime of the company. What other companies can say that? Yeah, it's set at a premium price point, but it's a premium coffee bean. It's from Colombia, Honduras, Peru, and Brazil. Of course it's going to be set at a premium. It's too delicious not to be. But guess what? As your interest rates rise, as your electricity prices rise, Bung Bung Coffee stays consistent. You want consistent coffee, consistent flavor, consistent quality with at a consistent price? Go to bungbungcoffee.com and get yours today delivered to your door. Enter promo code PODDY, P-O-D-D-Y, for 15% off all orders. Premium coffee at a premium price delivered to your door. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet, ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth, every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party. Bung Bung is your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman. Cause I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the captain, the Russell Brand of podcasting. Because even though I'm wrong, I'm right.
I didn't know where you were going to take that one, but good save.
Yeah, I didn't want to get too graphic about it, but yeah, it's interesting, this whole situation, I think. Boardman's in the building.
Yeah, what's up? Just, yeah, reading some headlines, about these allegations, all pretty salacious.
Yeah. So they're saying that he R-worded somebody.
Yeah.
And he's flat out refused that.
Like, statutory? Someone young, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? I haven't dug too deep into the whole sitcho, but I think dude, the country is divided on this vote.
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping up with the news, to be honest. What's the latest?
Oh, just people like...
Just more of the same.
Yeah. Vote yes, vote no. And then you got like all the people saying vote yes are white people thinking that they're saying what they're supposed to say. And then many of the people saying vote no are actually Indigenous.
I've also seen heaps of white people saying they're going to vote no.
Yeah, the other type of white people.
Lots of white people saying they're not voting yes.
Yeah. And I'm trying to like digest a lot of Indigenous opinions on this, and even the Indigenous communities are divided on it. So it's like really hard to figure out what to do here. I don't want to get into politics on the Welcome to the Potty podcast, you know, but I am the Russell Brand of podcasting. Even though he's got a podcast, you might think that he's the Russell Brand of podcasting, but I am the Russell Brand of podcasting, because even when I'm wrong, I'm right.
Oh my God, so big and strong.
Bung Bung Coffee, big, strong flavor. Competition? I don't think so. Bungbungcoffee.com, get yours.
I had acquaintance message me. I say that to be clear because I've got a lot of friends that are artists, real friends. And this is an acquaintance that messaged me wanting to see if I wanted a free piece of their art to hang in my house. And I just want to say this to all the artists. Don't put me in a position where I have to hurt your fucking feelings, bro. Your art's not that good. It's certainly not good enough to hang on the walls of my house. Okay, put it in a book so I can take a book and close it, put it on a bookshelf, you know? I don't want your art on my walls in my house.
You got to show me the shit off air.
There's not many art forms that you just want at the amateur level in your home. Even the professional level, I don't want a comedian just coming into my house and then just doing jokes, man. Like, talk to me normal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, filmmakers, I don't want coming in here filming everything. I don't know. Like, I don't want your art. I don't want your crappy art.
Yeah, you don't want to be looking at that every day.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. I need to see this.
Stop offering people art, bro. It's crazy. What if I came to your house and I was like, yeah, dude, I fucking recorded this dope joke the other day at this set and I was just wondering if you wanted to make it your doorbell. Like, what are you doing, bro? Fucking roll it up, put a rubber band around it and chuck it in the boot of your car or something, bro. I don't want it. So, and that lucky it was an acquaintance and I, you know, they don't know me that well. I didn't have to say that.
You reckon they're a listener?
I think most people are listeners. You know, Christopher Nolan listens to Welcome to the Body podcast. I'm sure Russell Brand does too. So, yes, this person probably listens to the show. And no, I don't want your bullshit art. Fucking amateur hour, dude. I don't even want, like, I don't really want a Banksy in my house. It doesn't make sense. It won't fit the vibe. I don't want your Spanksy either. Like, I just want fucking, you know, pictures of myself and Bald Man. Feeling tired? Fuck that. Perk up and level up with Bung Bung Coffee's delicious modern dark roast. Your favorite brewer's favorite brew. BungBungCoffee.com.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like ting or costumes? This segment is Plays Reviews.
I got a couple this week. And I want to get a quick rundown of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, finished it now.
Yeah.
Finished like the main series, I guess, the title series.
Because they've got all spin-offs now. And
yeah, a few spin-offs coming out.
Can I ask for a spoiler?
Yeah, sure.
Does, I'm forgetting his name. I want to say Daryl Dawkins. Daryl Dixon. Does he make it?
Yeah, just started his spin-off series. It's called Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, so is that's following?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aftermath, the main story.
Okay, so the fact that that's out is a spoiler in itself, if you haven't watched.
Yeah, and that kind of happened with another spin-off series called Dead City. I saw a trailer for that come out, and there were two characters I saw in that.
Oh, okay.
But that's still when I had like three seasons to go.
Oh, okay.
So The Walking Dead. So like, I knew they were going to make it, so that kind of sucked.
But yeah.
Oh, well, it is what it is.
What are your thoughts on the Walking Dead as a whole?
I thoroughly enjoyed it because I stuck through the whole way. Got a bit repetitive in parts. Like,
yeah. Was there a standout season and like a bad season?
Seasons 1 through 4, I want to say, were probably my favorites. 5 through 7 probably got a little bit stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the last couple weren't the best, but they were better than 5 through 7.
It's funny with those kind of those narrative shows that go on for so long. They just can't hold on. But people keep watching it and they keep wanting the money, so they keep going.
Yeah.
And it just gets... Did it get like dumbed on? Did dumb shit start happening or...?
Yeah, the guy who... This is another spoiler. We're in the spoiler section, but there's a guy called The King, and he has a pet tiger.
Right, yeah.
Did you get up to that?
Nah, no way.
Yeah, that was wild. That was like 10 years into the apocalypse, and this guy had a pet tiger. That was just nuts.
What's your opinion of how far into the apocalypse you've got to get before you get a pet tiger?
Well, he had it from the start.
Yeah.
And that's how he became the king, because no one wanted to fuck with him because he had a pet tiger.
As far as like what it did for the zombie genre, do you think it's like, is it on the same level of the Deads?
Nah, different type of zombie. So these ones commonly referred to as walkers in the show, hence like the title of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Dawn of the Dead movie, they're like sprinting, climbing, doing all sorts.
Yeah.
So completely different level of thrill, I guess, while you're watching it. You know the zombies can only walk, so
yeah,
if
right.
a character starts jogging away, they're going to be fine.
And is there any fast zombie?
No, they do eventually learn how to climb.
Right.
But only a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess pretty quickly it goes away from the zombies being the main threat to other humans being the antagonists.
Right.
In the show. And it's just like the main characters coming up against series after series of other clans.
What was their end goal?
End goal was just to set up multiple communities and be able to live like a sort of trader lifestyle between the communities.
Right. Is there a way to kill them all? Or like, and if everyone can somehow stay safe, they can't breed or anything.
Yeah, they can't breed, but I guess every human that dies, your army just gets a little bit smaller and takes ages for a kid to grow up and rejoin the army.
Yeah.
Every human that dies essentially becomes one of the walking dead, unless they're stabbed in the head.
What if they die of natural causes?
If you die of natural causes, you just reanimate as one of them. So, or you could like get stabbed in the heart, die, and then you'll come back as one of them.
Right. So, how? Why? Does everyone have something in their blood?
Yeah, everyone's infected with some sort of disease.
I thought you had to get bit.
That just speeds it up. So if an old person in the Shire dies of natural causes, they'll come back as one of the walkers.
Oh, right. So there's no end.
Someone will like sit by them, and the second they die, they'll just stab them in the brain. Yeah, so the show is based in America. You'd have to wipe out over 300 million of them.
Yeah.
It's probably like a few couple million people still around, but just so many walkers.
Yeah. Well, was the ending satisfying?
No, it was pretty mid.
Mid?
Mid, but I'm glad I hung in there to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just took so long to get through it all.
Yeah, how long did it take?
Probably started a year and a half ago, watched about two or three seasons and fell off for a few months,
mm-hmm.
and then got back into it, and yeah, probably did about 120 episodes in the past 2.5-3 months.
That's hectic.
Yeah, lots. That's lots of late nights, dude.
Yeah, but dude.
Got there.
What did you give the show?
It's probably around like the 6.5 range. Pretty disappointing for yeah. so many hours, but.
Wow, you stuck in.
First few seasons, like 8.
Yeah.
It's just the middle that kind of let it down.
Yeah, damn.
But I remember, spin-offs have been good so far, though.
What one are you watching at the moment?
So I finished Dead City, and now I'm watching the Daryl Dixon one.
Yeah.
So that's in France.
I think I saw that on a bus.
Yeah, I've seen a few ads.
Like yesterday. We used to watch like Dawn of the Dead, City of the Dead, Day of the Dead. All the of the Dead. Is that all?
I think there's another one.
Yeah. Land of the Dead.
Night of the Dead.
Night of the Living Dead?
Night of the Living Dead, I think.
Yeah. Well, we watched all of those back in the day and we were like dead set keen to like get our arsenal in order for a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, we were like amateur survivalists, man. Yeah. In our own minds anyway.
Tell me this. Five items, and they don't. I guess they don't have to have to be household items. What are five items that you can? If you can only have five items, what are those five items that you start your zombie apocalypse with?
Number one would have to be a hunting knife. I think that was probably the most used weapon on the show.
Okay,
so handy to have on you. I'd be trash with it though. I don't think I'd last a day if this shit broke out.
A day?
Nah, dude, I'd get my fucking neck ripped open so quick.
You reckon? You reckon you wouldn't check your six?
Nah.
Okay.
But
They only walk,
but there's so many of them. And yeah. like when you go like raiding places to get food, just, yeah. I don't like my chances, man. Just put it that way.
Yeah.
How do you think you'd go?
I like to think that I'd go pretty well.
Yeah, you'd make it to season 12.
Season 12 is a stretch. I think I'd be in imminent danger at my house because I've got a very low fence. You don't even have a fence.
Oh yeah, that'd be breaking through my front window.
Yeah, you're fenceless. so the very start of the journey would be in question. I'm not sure where I'd go. I think our neighbors have a fence with a gate. So maybe I'd commandeer their home, go in there, start telling them who's running shit now. I'd go full Captain Phillips on them. I'm the captain now.
Rationing out their cupboards.
Yeah. I think they're some type of Asian too. So lots of rice, lots of curry, that's my type of food. So start my journey with a full belly and, you know, it could be my last decent meal and it's going to be a meal that I enjoy. I would definitely have some type of knife, I think. I like the thought of a sword, but I don't like the thought of traveling with it, to try to run with a sword.
Oh, if you got one of those sheaths on your back, you could be all right.
Yeah.
One of the main characters in The Walking Dead had a sword.
Okay.
She knew how to use it.
Okay. Yeah, I like the thought of a big blade, though. Obviously, a backpack.
Yeah, you need a backpack.
Yeah, those are the first two. Are the zombies like light sensitive? Do they come to light or do they leave light?
Attracted to fire.
Attracted to it. God, because I was going to say a lighter just so I can start fires and shit, but I'm not going to want to start fires.
You need it sometimes, though. Need to cook, need to stay warm.
Yeah. I wonder what lasts longer. Probably a lighter would last longer than a box of matches. Way longer.
Yeah.
So I'd take a lighter.
You'd find more shit like that along the way, though.
Yeah, true. So, okay. Cancel the lighter. Because at the first OTR I've come across, I'll find a lighter in.
Like, you could go a few weeks without a lighter, so I wouldn't say you'd need that from the get-go.
Backpack, blade, notebook so I can write my jokes.
Priority.
No.
Well, people need to be entertained in the new world.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone will be like, shut the fuck up, man. They're going to hear you. I don't know. You would have a much better idea because I haven't watched a zombie movie in a long time.
A car.
Yep.
Car with jerry cans. Is that, that's two items though?
I'd call that two items.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's three for me.
Yeah.
Food. I know that's a very vague answer, but
I'd maybe go with
shopping centers get raided pretty quick.
Yeah, I'd maybe go with like a rope. A long length of rope where I can trap animals or something. Because I'm not going to probably be able to catch an animal and just hit it with my blade. I'm going to have to get the rope and like trap an animal.
So you heading out into the hills or are you just catching cats and dogs in the metro area?
I'm thinking if I can get to the hills, it's going to be a little bit safer because it's less populated.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe I'll try to go to the hills. Do animals get this disease?
No. They get eaten, but they don't get the disease.
They get eaten by zombies?
Yeah, if they're desperate enough.
So it's likely that I get to the hills and all the livestock's already cooked.
I feel like roos have a pretty good chance of getting away.
Yeah.
Things that are like penned in, like cows, probably not.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. The cows would probably be all buggered.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I go out, hills, kill some roos, rabbits. So yeah, rope, backpack, hunter's knife. Dude, I swear I wouldn't mind a compound bow.
Yeah, projectiles, that's your weapon of choice. See, you don't want to be making too much noise.
Yeah, well, and a gun, you spend your ammunition. And a bow, I can...
Just keep reusing.
Potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, there's potential to reuse. So is bow and arrows, is that two?
No, that's one.
Okay, that's one. And one more. Probably like some type of... Mm. everything I think of, I'm like, I can probably steal that pretty quickly. I don't have to.
Yeah, that's the thing. Pretty much everything we've said you can steal.
Yeah, backpack you can steal easy. Not the knife, not the bow.
You could find a suitable knife though. Maybe not a hunter's knife, but you'll find a knife to get you through. They're everywhere. Everyone's got knives in their house.
Yeah, but like, say I was getting home invaded and I grabbed my biggest knife and I just sliced downward on the home invader. I reckon the knife pretty much stops at the skull. Like, it cuts them deep and fucks them up, but it's not going into their brain like a sharp kitchen knife. A hunter's knife, you're like splitting their head.
You're right. That pretty rare to come by though. You got Mitchell's down the road though, so you'd be fine.
Yeah, I was down there today.
At Mitchell's.
I was next to Mitchell's. I was at Spotlight.
Getting ready, bro.
Spotlight getting some linen for the zombie apocalypse. Maybe I'd take the baseball bat. Mine's a metal bat.
Yeah, do a bit of damage with that.
Yeah. And if that guy comes back here talking shit about my dogs. So 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5 overall. Wish I could give it more because I did enjoy it, but
yeah,
no, I'm not gonna lie to anyone.
Yeah, you can't. You can still enjoy a 6.5, but it doesn't mean that it's not a 6.5.
That's it.
I watched a movie with Kenny this week. People thinking, wouldn't you always be watching movies with Kenny? Like, why is this maybe the first or second movie you reviewed since having this kid? Because he cannot sit through an entire movie, and this movie just for some reason got him. And he was highly reactive, laughing at the physical comedy. So whenever characters fell, things like that. When there was like intense like chases or something like that, he'd be like, ah! He's saying wow all the time now. So he said wow a lot. So that was nice. That was a 10 out of 10 watching Kenny enjoy it. The movie was so religious, dude. It may as well have been a baptism. I think, you know, I honestly feel like me and Kenny have been essentially baptized now, and we're both going to heaven. After watching this movie.
Welcome, brother.
Yeah. It's called The Star.
The Star.
And it's basically the story of Mary and Joseph giving birth to Jesus. And then some weird inconsistencies in the story that just didn't happen. Like, I don't know if a king was trying to come after Jesus and steal him or something. When they knew that Mary was having this Messiah baby. No?
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
And he sends this guy with two dogs to come and like steal Jesus.
I don't know. Sounds like a twist on the story I got told.
What was your story?
Three wise men going to...
Yeah, no, the three wise men were in this. They're nice guys.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I don't know anything about the...
Dude, yeah, I don't think that happened. And that's what the protagonist in the movie was. Oh, sorry, the antagonist in the movie was like some king from another place sends one of his goons with like a wolf and a pit bull or something to come and get this baby. And the donkey saves the day.
Just looking at the cast now. Walking Dead star Steven Yeun was Bo the Donkey.
Steven Yeun was in it. I think I do think that one of the camels was Tracy Morgan.
Yep, Felix.
Yep. That's about all I can... The only voices I could pick.
Tyler Perry. Oprah was in it.
Oh, wow.
Keegan-Michael Key. Kelly Clarkson. Mariah Carey.
Kelly Clarkson's the only white person in this movie.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh shit. It was hell like sincerely Catholic, and then it just like wasn't.
Did Rachel know this when she picked it?
No. No, and when, like the artwork on Netflix was like the donkey and big like sort of bubble letters saying the star, and I kind of felt like it was going to be a character similar to Donkey from Shrek, played by Eddie Murphy, trying to like make it in Hollywood or something like that. That was what my idea was, and that doesn't seem like a bad movie.
Get writing.
Yeah. But no, this was about this star, like God or these angels come down and speak to Mary and tell her she has to carry the baby of God, and then the star lights up the sky and everyone sees this star and they're like, oh, what's the star pointing to? And like, oh, it was a lot, man. It was a lot for a 16-month-old. 5 out of 10. And then I finished a series as well. It's called Derek. It's Ricky Gervais. And it's dope. Okay? He's a special needs guy who works in a retirement home. And it is like, it's kind of like The Office, because it's like a mockumentary. Roy Kent from Ted Lasso is in it. And it's got a bit of Ted Lasso feel, like every episode, like you can be laughing your ass off 1 minute and then on the verge of tears the next. So yeah, it was awesome. Heartfelt, very funny, and just a lot of like diversity of character, like all these different characters with different values and idiosyncrasies. Yeah, it was very cool and very, I guess, non-judgmental. And if you look at like the art, you can probably see it on the screen there. It's like Ricky Gervais looks chabarded.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm just stuck on the cast. After you said diversity, I'm just not seeing any. But
no, diverse
characters.
Yeah, like the type of characters. It was definitely a white show. But the reason I didn't watch this show earlier was because I looked at the thumbnail whenever it popped up. And it looked like it was really taking the piss out of intellectually.
Looking at it now, it looks like some Chris Lilly shit.
Yeah, it looked pretty hectic. And then, like, it got recommended by somebody. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And I gave it a try, and it's a banger. 8 out of 10.
Solid.
Yeah. And then you picked the movie this week.
I did. I was so close to picking a zombie movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What would you have picked?
I feel like one day we're going to do... I lost the name now. What's that one we used to watch all the time? We were talking about it just before.
Oh, like one of the Of the Deads.
Yeah, one of the... Day of the Dead, was it?
I can't remember.
I think Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's the one that got me into that genre, man. Love that movie.
I think it's already reviewed in the database, so I don't know if I'd do an we could do an episode on it, and then I wouldn't have to post a clip.
Nah, we'll find something else.
Less work for me. But because I don't think it's on the Instagram. Anyway, you picked Dark Waters.
Yeah, just took a bit of a stab in the dark. I'd never really heard anything about it before, but saw Mark Ruffalo and usually a fan of his work, so thought we'd give it a go.
Love Mark. Anne Hathaway, I usually enjoy. I think she's a bit of a stunner. I went to college with a girl, looked just like her.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I didn't get to have a crack, unfortunately, but shout out to JS if you're out there. And yeah, man. Did you go snacks on this one?
Nah, messed up. Didn't get anything. Where'd you go?
I had a cup of tea.
Some dark water.
Yeah. And I went with the future sponsor of the show, Tim Tams. And I was Tim Tam slamming tea.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Had you heard of this movie before we watched it?
I had it in my list.
Okay.
But I had no idea what it was about. And boy, oh boy, did I just about have a panic attack by the end of the movie.
Yeah, man.
I was convinced I've got cancer. You know, I'm going to have an abortion or a miscarriage or something.
Shouldn't be laughing about this, but I felt the exact same way.
Yeah, man. I've got ulcerative colitis. Like, I've got it all. I was like, yeah, that's, I'm sure it's me. Because I've definitely eaten off of Teflon pans before.
Do you recall that stat they said in the movie? Like 99% of beings on Earth have this shit in their system?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks heaps, movie.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I was on edge the whole, not on edge, but like I was captivated this whole film.
Yeah. Yeah. I was.
Usually I take notes, but I couldn't even bring myself to take any notes. I just had to watch every second of it.
I had absolutely no idea what this movie was about. But yeah, like I said, I put it in my list because it was Mark Ruffalo and Anne Hathaway, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard of this for some reason. Maybe it was marketed poorly or something. 2019, it's 2023 now. I'd never heard of it until a couple months ago when it popped up on my Netflix. Yeah, where do you want to start?
I don't know, man. Let you lead the way.
Basically, quick rundown of the movie is Mark Ruffalo is a lawyer. He's actually a corporate lawyer defending big chemical companies from any lawsuits. And he's from a small town in West Virginia, and a farmer from that town knows his grandmother, and he's having some problems on his farm. She says, go see my son. He's a big lawyer at a big firm. He'll help you out. Guy travels all the way to Cincinnati. I think it was Cincinnati. Where Mark Ruffalo was practicing law in the firm.
Yeah.
Guy travels to Cincinnati, basically, because he's from a small town. He thinks you can just walk into places and speak to whoever you want to speak to, right? So he walks into this big building and says, I want to speak to Mark Ruffalo. And he comes down, he's like, who are you? Basically, he explains it. All my cows are dying. I think DuPont, this big company, is dumping chemicals in my river and killing my livestock. And it's funny that wasn't DuPont the name of the guy in Foxcatcher?
Yeah, it was. Same family.
It is the same family?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, there's going to be through lines in the Welcome to the Potty podcast that we don't even understand. We've got, it's a WTTPU.
Universe.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark Ruffalo ends up gone to this guy's farm to have a look. It hits a soft spot with him and he pursues this case. Turns out that the company has like renamed this chemical that not even the EAP or what, like
EPA,
not even they are aware of. And so they don't have to notify anybody about the levels of it or what they're doing with it, how they're disposing of it.
It's, yeah, it's just completely like
unregulated
substance.
Yeah, so
pretty wild where that substance, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
That substance, like starting off as a coating for tanks back in like World War II.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. And
like a waterproof coating for those tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody, and I guess they're a smart person, was like, well, this is a pretty cool substance. How can we bring it into the household and like make money off of it?
The happy pen.
Yeah. And I've definitely eaten off of pans that say Tefal, T-E-F-A-L. Yeah,
that's a brand.
Yeah. I don't know if I've actually seen Teflon, like anything say Teflon on it, but like.
No, so this is taking me back to my retail days when I used to sell fry pans.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching the movie, when they started using the term PFOA, it started ringing some bells and it came to me like a few minutes later, but on the bottom of like nearly every fry pan you see these days that has non-stick coating, it'll say it contains no PFOA.
Wow.
Like every single fry pan that has non-stick says that.
Because like,
when I was working, I just thought nothing of it. I was like, it must just be some chemical, which it is, but I didn't realize the backstory behind why I'd been banned. So it was pretty interesting film.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess he became completely obsessed with this case. The most the most, I guess it was kind of predictable, but when he was in business with the guy that ran DuPont, I guess, and said like, oh, we're going to sue you just so we can get some discovery and put all this to bed. And then he got some information. He wanted more. And he basically killed that relationship. Not basically, definitely killed that relationship. And the guy gives him a call and he's like really cordial on the phone. And he's like, yeah, that discovery is going to get to you really soon. He's like, oh, you know, thanks, Rodney or whatever his name is. He's like, no, my pleasure. And as soon as he said my pleasure, I said, holy shit, Rach, it's going to be truckloads.
Yeah, you called it. I didn't see that coming.
As soon as he said my pleasure, I was like, oh, God. Next scene, you see the truck open up and it's just boxes and boxes of stuff. And this guy went through it. And seemingly in the movie anyway, at least, I'm sure it didn't work this way in real life, but in the movie, did it solo.
I reckon he probably did, man. Because
no one was really...
Well, the company he was working for, like the managing partner, he was down for the cause, but also pretty conscious of the resources he was spending on pursuing this case. So I doubt he would have given him assistance.
Yeah, true. Because I guess they're supposed to be charging like, I don't know, $275 an hour.
Yeah.
And he's doing this for free for however many years, 20 years.
Yeah, about that.
It ended up being. Yeah. Well,
was it?
At the end of the movie, it said he's still
working the cases.
Yeah.
When did it start? Was it 89 when the legal proceedings sort of started?
I think so, yeah. 88 or 89.
I think there was like a scene in the film. It kind of starts in like 1975.
Mm.
Those kids swimming in that lake.
Yeah. And like I said, I had no idea what this movie was going to be about. I was like waiting for someone to get pulled under the lake or... And Rach was like, oh, you told me this wasn't going to be scary. As far as filmography goes, there was one scene where he's laying in bed at night with his wife, Anne Hathaway. And she says something to him like, what haven't they done or what haven't they thought of or what? Can you remember this?
Remember it, but I'm just trying to remember where it went to next.
The next, I just remember saying to Ray, it's like, oh, now that she said that, he's not going to sleep all night. He's not going to be able to stop thinking about it, right? Next scene is him walking down like a hallway. I can't remember if it was in the office or in one of the courtrooms or something, but they shot it sideways from, well, sideways and above. So you're seeing bird's eye view, him walking down a hallway to the, like from the right of the screen to the left. So it didn't fit the rest of the movie. And it was like clearly because of a shift in his perspective. So they like physically changed the perspective of the camera for the next shot.
Yeah.
But I thought that was so hack.
Just really forced.
Yeah, like hell, 10th grade film class type of shit. That was the first one. And then the second one was the deposition where he kept saying, I forget what he kept repeating a line like, do you recall that or something?
Yeah.
In that.
This is with like the new CEO that's over. Yeah.
And so they're in this deposition in the dark. And I just remember being like, why would they be doing this in a dark room? Like, it's obviously just for the purposes of the movie and the tone of that.
Yeah.
Like, but I was just like, everything's been so like true to life. Like, it's been very biographical, and now they're just like in this fully like dimly lit dark room. You can't see anything except the table and chairs.
This is when they're like a few stories underground or whatever in that car park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just thought that was, it just like sort of, it was just, it jumped out of the film because it wasn't like the rest of it. Yeah.
Not going to lie, I was nervous when he got in the car.
Me too.
Don't want to give anything away, but...
Yeah, I'll leave that, but... He saw a figure. Was that in his imagination, do you think?
I think it was a figment.
Yeah.
There was a moment in the film that reminded me of this. Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
There was a second where the farmer guy was talking and I couldn't understand a fucking word this guy was saying, man.
Where, what part?
He was getting really like animated and I think it was when he like started coughing.
Out by his truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Is that, that's got to be South Park.
You've never seen that episode?
I don't know.
Fuck.
I'm not extremely well versed on South Park.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Was that Timmy?
Nah, I think it's when a bunch of people come back from the future, but they're all like really mixed race and they're all just yellow.
Right.
And they start like working for absolute minimum wage and taking everyone's jobs.
Oh, no, they're all Mexicans.
Like future hybrid Mexicans. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was doing a lot. I thought he was really good, actually. I thought he might have, like, he kind of stole the show a bit, that actor.
He was too good.
Yeah.
Bucky.
Oh, yes. They had the real Bucky. The
real Bucky.
So Bucky, for those who haven't seen the film yet, is a baby that was born by a woman who worked the line at Teflon. So she had full exposure to this PFOA and she got pregnant. She had a baby that was born with one nostril and an eye deformity. And towards the end of the film, Mark Ruffalo runs into him at a petrol station. And my first thought was makeup. Like they've just, you know, put someone in makeup to look
I thought that too.
And then in the credits, they show that the key figures in the story had actually all been placed in the movie at some point. And that was the real Bucky as a grown man. So, I mean, that made me feel warm that he survived. And
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but.
Yeah.
Heavy, man. Heavy film.
Yeah, I wonder what his financial situation is. Do you know what I mean?
You just assume he... What was the total payout? Like 670 million between 3,500 people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd assume he would have got a fair chunk of that.
Yeah. So, the outcome after... I mean, this is a huge company with a lot of resources and a lot of money to just like make shit go away. And this guy just persevered and persevered and persevered. So after a long, long time, he started going to court and he was personally representing every single person that was taking DuPont to court. It's,
3,500 people.
Yeah. And it appeared that every case he would win a little bit more money for the next person. So I don't know how that makes the first person feel, but the first person won like $1,700, then the next person like $3,500, then the next one like $6,700. And it ended up being like upwards of $650 million payout all up from DuPont to all of the people directly affected in this town in West Virginia.
Yeah, but even that's still just nothing to this company.
No, so they were making, company.
A billion a year in profit?
Yeah,
just
that's
on Teflon.
Just on Teflon,
crazy, man.
Yeah, so that's nothing.
And they'd been doing that for what, like nearly 40 years?
Yeah.
And they had to give away $670 million. What did he work it out to be, like 3 days? Or like a week's worth of their
profit? I think he said 3 days.
3 days.
Yeah.
It's just slap in the face to all these people.
Yeah. But, I mean, I suppose it's a win for the little guy. But, dude, it really made me resent big business. I've always resented big business. As I sit here in my Adidas sweatpants. But Rachel, bless Rachel's heart. She says, can't the government just step in? And I was like, they just pay the government.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what was happening.
Yeah. Like, the last thing the government will ever do is step in. Like, and I don't want to get too much into conspiracy, but, like, the one thing I know, particularly in the US, is, like, you're a public servant your whole life when you want to run for president. And you just, you go and your campaign costs $200 million. Where's that money coming from? It's not coming from taxpayers. It's not coming from your pocket because you've been making $80,000 for the last 30 years. It's coming from people that back you. And they say, like, yeah, we'll donate $60 million to your campaign. When you win, just make sure you pass this law.
Yeah.
And then when you're out of office, all of a sudden you're going on the road like you're a fucking comic doing speaking tours, going around to all these big businesses and doing 15 minutes and getting paid $1 million per speech. So that's bribe money, but you're getting paid after the fact.
It's just the way it is over there, man.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, so I was telling Rach, like these people don't have to worry about the government. They shit on the government. I'm trying to think of a cause that I'd ever fight that hard for. You know, it looked like he took 3 pay cuts.
So it didn't end up being 4. There was talk of a 4th, but maybe
that was the 4th. Oh, that was the 4th one.
Yeah, I think
when
he'd taken 3 already, and then
yeah, and he had some type of seizure or stroke or something.
Yeah,
they never said what that was, did they? Oh, they did.
They did, but the wife didn't really believe it.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, so he's taken all these pay cuts. I just thought it was interesting that the company continued letting him do it. I guess they had to live with their own consciences as well.
It. Quite a few of them
didn't want to
do it.
Yeah,
that was pretty interesting.
But the managing partner backed him,
big dogged,
which was nice.
Made the call. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not many causes that I feel that strongly about. Got people in my life that really care about stuff, and I've had people offer me petitions.
Like, care as much as this guy though?
No, just petition level.
Yeah, okay.
Enough to like go around and bother people and ask them to sign petitions. Like you're asking them to hang bullshit art in your house. Like, dude, I don't want my name on this thing. You know? I don't care about this cause the way you do. And you're putting pressure on me right now. And you're gonna do this in front of these people and make me look crazy when I say no. And I have to, because I have to be true to myself. And I have to prevent you from doing this again in the future.
That's right. I go look after number one.
Yeah. But like, then you got people looking at you like, just fucking sign. It's like, just leave me alone, man.
Stick to your guns,
man. I'm not putting my name on shit, man. No way. You never know what, like, I don't know what happens to that petition. I don't know when that comes out and people are like, oh, well, this guy's a problem. He's always trying to fight the machine, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of the machine. But I'll fire the machine when I feel like firing the machine, not when you feel like firing the machine. I got fucking apocalypses to prepare for, man.
Yeah, stopping the Mitchells this weekend.
Yeah, get a nice big knife.
Yeah, you got me thinking about this hunting knife now. The old steak knife's not going to do it.
No, the steak knife won't do it, bro. Not even the big one that has its own little stand. That won't get it done.
Damn.
I've thought about it. Dude, I don't know what the rules are either in Australia. Like, if someone breaks into my home and I feel threatened, am I still in trouble when I put them down?
I think so.
Yeah.
I recently saw something in the news. This, I don't know if it was in Australia or not, but someone broke into this guy's house and the guy ended up sexually assaulting the perpetrator, and then the guy ended up getting in trouble.
That's wild, bro. I think if someone comes into your house, you should be able to fuck them, bro. That's, I've always said that. You come in my house, I'm coming in you, bro.
Dude, what a fucking turn of events, though. Imagine being the perp.
Imagine going to the cops and being like, dude, I just went, I broke into this guy's house and he fucked me. And they're like, wait, you broke into his house?
Oh, shit.
That's crazy. But I like that move. That's alpha shit, bro.
I can stop laughing when I read it.
I'm all about that. That's the best news story I've ever heard. I'm into that, bro. That's fire. I think in Australia, like, I think even self-defense is, like, punishable, man.
Yeah, I think so.
I think someone can have their hands around your neck and you put them down and, like, they're like, why'd you do that?
Yeah. Might need to ask someone in law enforcement if they have any idea.
Mm.
Get onto it.
Yeah, we've got a few of those people. We got one down the street. We got a detective on the street.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Dude, check this out. We've got, I think I talked about these names before because I went and knocked on the window. I was like, you good? I think I talked about that. One of our neighbors called the cops on that guy the other night because he was out in the street smoking something that they don't think was even marijuana. They think it was swing on the glass pipe. No, what do they call it?
Light bulb? Is that what they use?
I don't know what they
do. I don't know.
Bro, I don't know that game.
Don't know the lingo, dude.
Swinging around the... I don't know. I don't know what they say. But, yeah, I think he's a fucking crackhead, bro. But, oh, yeah, and he listens to the show. Not the cracky, but the guy that called the cops.
Yeah.
So good on you. Keep the streets clean. You clean the streets by calling the cops. I clean the streets by smashing guys that fucking fuck with my dog. This is the callback episode.
Yeah, it's been a few.
What'd you give Dark Waters?
I'm going 8.5.
Ooh, up there.
I wanted to say 8.2, but 8 was too low. So let's
go. Wow, 8.5, bro.
Really enjoyed that. I feel like everyone needs to see this movie.
Wow, dude. I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I gave it a 7. And not because of the content. I thought those two shots that I mentioned before were fully out of place in this film. I get the point of them, but maybe that's the problem. It was too on the nose.
Okay.
In saying that, the rest of the film, there was just nothing special being done. There was no composition that I was like, oh, look, that's a masterfully shot scene right there. It was just all just like, yeah, set up the cameras, fucking hurry up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the acting, Anne Hathaway, by the way, she wasn't in it a lot. But like the issues that his obsession with this case was having on the family, she went nuts a couple of times and she was good. And then I really liked her de-escalation when she was going ape shit at him. And then he was like, let me explain this to you. And she let him, and then she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she could have just kept going nuts then. But
yeah, like...
She was being really rational. I like to see that.
That was a... and Tim Robbins as well in the meeting room with... When the black guy, the only black guy in the movie... no, actually, there was three black... Bro, I couldn't tell the time period for a second.
Did you pick up that one scene where they were at that conference?
And it was all black waiters.
Yeah, it was only black waiters. Yeah, that scene was wild.
That was nuts. For a minute, I was like, what year is this again?
Yeah.
The fuck? And then I saw there was the black lawyer, and he called something out to the person on stage, and I was like, oh, that was bold. But yeah, in that meeting where the black lawyer... was like against Mark Ruffalo and Tim Robbins like snapped and started yelling a lot of passion. I was like, yes, that was really that. I'm into Tim Robbins. Shout out to Shawshank Redemption. But yeah, 7 for me.
That's probably our biggest discrepancy so far, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. 8.5. 8.5 is up there, dude. But yeah,
sticking with it.
Yeah, bro. Got to, otherwise you end up signing positions left, right, and center, dude. You guys know what to do. ClaimItMathComedy.com. This week, got a show at the Cooper's Ale House in Jepps Cross. Buy your tickets at the venue, claymcmathcomedy.com for all my dates. But yeah, get out to this one if you're in the northern suburbs and you want to have a good time on a Thursday night. Start the weekend off a little bit early, start it off a little bit rowdy, and start it off extremely, extremely happy. Jepps Cross, Cooper's Ale House, SA Comedy Roadshow is going to be there. You guys know what it is. Welcome to the Potty on Everything. Share the show, tell a friend, and as always, oh, I love you guys, and don't forget to love yourselves, and as always, bung bung.